Yes, hello everybody. Kudoo. Yeah, woo. What a good day to be a woman, eh? Yeah, good, good. I've just come here to acknowledge the traditional owners of this country, the Wurundjeri people. Always very important to acknowledge, because without our ancestors and without our culture and our way of looking after our country, which we did for so many thousands of years, we wouldn't be able to share all the great things that we've got right now in this place, Wurundjeri country. Yes, kudu for our ancestors. And just one thing I'd like to just point out. You may have heard of a street name called Wurundjeri, Wurundjeri Way. Now, that's a lot of people travel that every day, but that was actually named after the people of this country. And the proper pronunciation of it, though, it's not Wurundjeri, it's Wurundjeri. Wurun is a red gum tree. Wurun and Jerry is the little bug, the barty grub, the widgety grub in the tree. So the proper pronunciation is Wurundjeri. Yeah. So to acknowledge everybody and acknowledge our past ancestors, and I hope that everyone has a great day today. Kuru!
When women across the globe come together to celebrate International Women's Day on March the 8th, they participate in a tradition that represents almost a century of struggle for equality, justice, peace and development. On March the 8th, 1908, in New York, poverty-stricken women garment workers marched through the streets demanding improved wages and decent working conditions. This became Women's Day. The first International Women's Day was held in 1911. It now unites many millions of diverse women across the world in powerful demonstrations and celebrations. This announcement is brought to you by the National Ethnic and Multicultural Broadcasters Council, who wish all women broadcasters and listeners a happy and successful International Women's Day.
That's right, you are tuned to Community Radio 3CR for the 24-hour International Women's Day broadcast. My name's Mercedes and it's just gone 9 p.m. here at the beautiful studios down of 3CR down in Smith Street in Fitzroy. And it was beautiful to walk into the studio today to some beautiful women feasting and to see everyone and to listen to the broadcast today. I'm going to be bringing you with you for the next hour, bringing you some programs and some parts of programs that have been broadcast here on 3CR on International Women's Day over the last 30, 10, 20 or so years. And so I just, at the top there was Shira Lee Hood, of course, absolute 3CR legend and legend in all walks, who you would have heard just earlier today on for the 3CR Women's Day broadcast. And I just want to give a shout out to Breaking Through, the new program that's happening at Mondays at 1 p.m. With Shira Lee and the Beyond the Bars crew, and a massive shout out to Sally for 21 years of Out of the Pan that broadcast earlier today as well. And getting into the From the Archives, it was really beautiful to be have the opportunity to go through a lot of the 3CR archives and the previous International Women's Day broadcasts that have happened here, including the street parties. And so that one up the top was Shira Lee from 2011. And what really kind of stood out to me, I guess, was a lot of the, I mean, I wish I could play them all, but a lot of the things that stood out of the things that women are facing, that we continue to face, and sometimes, you know, things that from 20, 30 years ago, how they are still the same today, but also how far we've come in a lot of regards. And that's really what I've tried to get across with this program. So big shout out to all you beautiful women and wonderful gender non-conforming and family. Of course, I'm very blessed to have beautiful mum and beautiful nieces and sisters and aunts and cousins, and who are all full of love today. For all the incredible women in my life, and this is a celebration of that. And so next up, we're going to stay in 2011 from that International Women's Day street party just out the door there on Little Victoria Street from 2011. And we're going to be hearing from the Arabic Women's Choir, introduced by the one and only Kate Reid, also a legend of 3CR and someone who, for me, really embodies what absolute staunch and unrelenting community care means. And big shout out to Kate, because without Kate, I wouldn't have my number one in life and mischief. You know who you are. So we're back to International Women's Day Party again from 2011 with Kate introducing the Arabic Women's Choir.
But it is 100 years ago that International Women's Day was founded, 1911, and we're very proud here in Fitzroy to be a part of that. And 3CR's been a massive supporter of International Women's Day since the 70s when this fabulous radio station started. I think we're going to cross to the Arabic Women's Choir imminently.
Masa al khair, good evening. I just like to say thank you so much, 3CR, for inviting us today to celebrate International Women's Day. I like to talk about my group. My name first, Lina Hassan. I coordinate the Arabic Folklore Choir. The group started in 2008, been supported by Victorian Arabic Social Service and funded by the Arabian City Council. The group is a combine of elderly women and young mom from Iraq and Lebanon, Syria. They had the opportunity to meet and socialize with people from diverse culture through their performing and singing. Interaction between new culture becomes a new beneficial environment that gave them a chance to learn and new about new culture. Through their involvement with Women Folklore Choir, they have increased their social, physical, and emotional health dramatically because it allowed them to have the opportunity to interact, relax, unwind, feel more active, and give them something to look forward to. They are very proud and have a sense of belonging due to suffering they encountered from civil war.
Let's go. عيشة مع قدامها حب النهرين أحبها لو نفراتك صايبها طلعتك ومر نيسان لو نفراتك صايبها طلعتك ومر نيسان
And that there was Kate introducing the Arabic Women's Choir from the International 3CR's International Women's Day Street Party back in 2011. So that's 15 years ago today. And I guess what a big part of this program is about from the archives is celebrating 50 years of 3CR being on the air this year. And a big shout out to always all of the women who just behind the scenes keep this station going and keep ensuring that it is a place for radical voices that you don't hear anywhere else on this continent and on through the airwaves and keeping it in communities' hands and making sure that these voices go to air so that you can hear 24-hour broadcasts on International Working Women's Day. So you can hear programs like Beyond the Bars. You can hear over 100 programs throughout the week. And that all of that doesn't happen without the incredible women behind the scenes. We're going to jump forward now to 2017, to the International Women's Day Breakfast Special, which was presented by Di, Ayan, Hope and Aletha. And as I said earlier, it was hard to choose all of this program, but it was hard to choose which parts of this particular breakfast special to air today. But I guess what did stand out to me was, again, and particularly in this, of things, how much things have changed for the better, but also that 9 years on from that broadcast, how much has remained the same. And I guess that really highlighted for me the importance of continuing to be courageous and continuing to stand up. And so for this part, we're going to hear from Margarita Windich, who's a long-term feminist and social justice campaigner. And Margarita talks about the rise of the far right and feminism and on the impacts of global capital in a patriarchal system and how it impacts First Nations women on this continent and women globally, and also draws on the connections between the machinations of global capital and the intersections of poverty, forced migration and climate change that largely impact women. This is Margarita Windich speaking back in 2017.
Look, I think everybody can be bold. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily good people, yeah, or people that we necessarily want to promote. The rise of the far right, in my opinion, is very much related with the inability of social democracy to actually deliver to people. A lot of people have seen in Australia and across the world that their conditions have actually worsened in a system that keeps saying things are okay. And for me, the rise of the far right actually is more, I would say, an indication also that the social democracy, which is represented in one way or another through the ALP, has actually not been able to show a real alternative. And nowadays, when people say any woman can be a feminist, you know, it's like if I say I'm a feminist, that makes me a feminist. And I think that actually betrays the real principles of feminism, what a lot of women always fought for, which was not really equality in a system that actually allows men to act like beasts. Mm. If that's the system we want to assimilate into, then I think we're aiming far too low. Mm. Feminism, in my view, has always been about women's liberation, and that requires systems change. So it's not a lifestyle choice. It's not to say I choose what I want to do that makes me a feminist. And, you know, anybody's heard Pauline Hanson speak would very much be aware that she really does not care about 99% of the world's women. And that means, you know, Indigenous women, Muslim women, Black women, Asian women, and any woman, for instance, who wants to have an abortion, or any woman who's a single parent, yeah? She's actually really anti-women. And that's not feminist.
Right. Maya Angelou once said, I've learned that you shouldn't go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw something back. What are your thoughts on boldness? How can change be achieved?
Well, everything we take for granted, I think, in 2017, and there's a lot of women and young women also, especially in Australia, take a lot of things for granted. And I think they should be able to, because it should be our birthright to be able to go to university, to be able to have autonomy over my own body, to decide, you know, who I want to live with, who I want to sleep with, how many children I want to have, or any at all, what career I want to have. However, though, all of these we have only achieved because of the incredible determination and courage of the women who've come before us. Yes. Women have died in the struggle for liberation. And I'm talking about abolitionists, about women who are fighting against slavery, against the horrendous invasion of Australia. Women have been fighting against their attacks on reproductive rights. And we still see women die now also in Rojava, in Kurdistan, where the women actually are part of a massive liberation struggle that want to see a different world. So in other words, I think boldness has to go just beyond me and has to be about what do I want to achieve for also the people around me. And I guess that means often sacrifice, and it means courage. And we shouldn't forget that courage is actually contagious. You know, when we see one or two people stand up and speak out, it actually gives real encouragement to others. Because we know my voice alone is not going to be enough. But when we have more and more voices and different voices that come from different kind of angles, but we all are striving for the same thing, which is really freedom for all humans to be able to fulfill their potential. That's when we know we have power, and that's when we're dangerous. And really, at the end of the day, I just want to say to you, you know, there's the old saying, good girls go to heaven, bad girls go everywhere. And I think that really should be a bit of our inspiration.
We should all have to be bad girls, that's shouldn't what I'll we? Say.
Margarita, what are, in your eyes, the biggest challenges for womankind in Australia and across the world for 2017?
If I can just say it in one phrase, it would be corporate globalisation. I think that's the biggest challenge. And the elements of that, I would argue, are violence against women, and that's expressed through literal wars that are being fought, you know, and we're talking about the Middle East, we're talking still about Palestine, you know, literal, you know, wars of invasion, but also proxy wars. Then also the ongoing violence perpetrated by governments against particular population groups and women. And here we also talk about, you know, high rates of incarceration and murder of people from different ethnic and minority communities. That's violence. And then also, of course, the intimate partner violence that a lot of women experience. And, you know, at least one woman gets murdered every week in Australia by either a partner or ex-partner. And, you know, that is savage, you know, that kind of violence that women have to face from the state, from society, and then the people that supposedly love them. That's one of the, I would say, one of the most savage forms of women's oppression. And I think it's a key element of corporate globalization. The other one is increase of wage inequality and also increase of poverty. We now have 8 men who own as much as half of the world's population. Now let that sink in. 8 men own as much as 3.6 billion people. I mean, that level of poverty has not existed ever before. And this affects, of course, women, because we women statistically are the poorest in the world. We're the most illiterate, and women cop the biggest brunt of that. Also precarious employment. You know, we're talking part-time employment, casualization. Women have a higher percentage of that. We earn less super over the years. It means we are poorer when we get old. One of the biggest growing population groups in homelessness are older women. So that's a massive challenge. Another very big challenge is climate change, yeah? This is a massive crisis. It's the biggest threat to global health in the world. And again, women are some of the first to really experience at the forefront of climate change. Any disaster, women are some of the higher percentage of women who die in disasters. We also talk about, land theft, yeah, that's happening. Ongoing theft of land through colonial occupations, but also current occupations. You know, we see what's happening in Indigenous Australia around, you know, like the whole question of not being able to have a treaty and sovereignty. But we also see people in Western Sahara still being occupied, Palestine, you know. So I think they're key issues. And coming out of that, all of that, we then have forced migration from all these different issues, you know. So the whole crisis around people having to leave their countries, you know, becoming refugees and asylum seekers, and then what happens to them when they try and reach safety, like Europe or Australia, they get, you know, experience more violence again from a patriarchal system. And I guess at the end, I would argue that the other big one is, of course, with a big challenge, is the rise of the far right, you know, which is really very big too, and challenging for women, because it's a direct attack on some of our civil liberties.
Thank you, Margarita, for that back in 2017. But I think that a lot of those things that Margarita raised are still happening today in Palestine, in Iran, in Western Sahara, in Rojava, in here, you know, in so-called Australia, on First Nations country, and all of those issues. And still, you know, there might be a couple more men that are billionaires. But this is why we must come together, and our strength is together. From that same International Women's Day breakfast special, presented by Di, Ayan, Hope and Aletha, next up we're going to hear from Pilar Darling, who is an opinionated queer non-binary trans being. And they're speaking about the courage and its strength, and the strength that it takes to challenge social perceptions of womanhood as a trans woman, and the integral role of trans women in feminism and LGBTQI plus movements. This is Pilar Darling speaking back in 2017 on the International Women's Day breakfast special.
How does it feel like being me? I mean, I don't know. How does it feel like? It feels different every day of the week, you know. I also live with chronic fatigue syndrome, so I guess I...
In terms of society, you know, how they perceive you and how you...
They have no idea how to perceive me. You know, I think in some ways my transness is often invisibilized. A lot of people don't see me as trans unless I'm naked, you know. So, like, in lots of ways, it's hard because I struggle with the fact that my identity is not witnessed or recognized or acknowledged. And in other ways, I'm also really aware that because I'm often read as male, I'm often safer. And that's horrible. It's horrible to, you know, I guess sometimes I have to choose between looking how I would rather look and safety. Yeah, so I guess yeah, how society perceives me depends on how courageous I'm feeling that day. You know, I think there's lots of ways to challenge people's notions of what a person is, you know. Yeah. Some of my new sort of softer tactics of challenging people's identities of what a body looks like or what a woman looks like or is just, you know, maybe going down to the nude beach, you know. That always puts people in their place pretty quickly.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you know. I like to take the as much of the... I like to find creative ways of taking as much of the emotional labour off myself and onto the person who's perpetrating the violence against me.
It's good to challenge that binary view lot of people have, isn't it? It's interesting for them to think in a diverse perspective.
Yeah, and I actually feel like a lot of, you know, I mean, when you look at the queer movement or the GLBT movement, a lot of that fight back started with trans women, you know. Well, it's the first brick was thrown by a trans woman of colour. Not that you'd see that in any Hollywood films.
A black trans woman.
Black trans woman, sorry. And, you know, so I think that often a lot of work is done by trans people, and particularly black trans people, and obviously because they're probably the most persecuted, marginalized group in the world, you know, when you look at the statistics of murder and unemployment and things like that. Yeah, marginalization is the biggest issue. I think in Melbourne, inside the queer community, trans women are sort of in some ways held in quite high regard. We're almost at a point where we're even starting to be seen as desirable people within the queer community. And that's, you know, wow, like that's light years. When I first started to transition, I was 18. I'm now 34. It was a very, very, very different time back then. And the safety issues around what I faced then versus what I face now, you know, back then it was homelessness and a lot of, you know, like, if you were a trans woman, you were a drug dealer or a sex worker and you were homeless, and there was no such thing as sex worker rights. There was no such things as, you know, like harm minimization around drug use and things like that. Like there was so like, you know, but there are lots of communities in Australia that still really persecute trans women. So I think it's just... I guess it's not just about trans women. It's about, like, none of us move forward until we all move forward, you know. Yeah. Everyone just needs to look out for one another and, yeah, stand up and take the space that we need.
Worker, activist, leader, storyteller, organiser, carer, sister, friend, partner, writer, artist. Celebrate the contributions made by women in your community on March the 8th, International Women's Day.
And thank you there to Pilar for speaking on what that means and the importance of taking up that space. And here on Community Radio 3CR on the 31st of this month, that's a Tuesday from 10 till 6 p.m. Make sure to tune in to the fifth iteration of Trans Day of Audibility. And that's all about taking up that space, because as women and gender non-conforming people, that's exactly what we need to do. Now, moving on to the next part of this From the Archives program, and as many listeners and 3CR listeners will know, or we spoke about it on my regular program, A Friday Rave, which is on Friday at 5 p.m., it is now the eighth day of the US and Israel's latest attack on Iran. All the while, over the last 2.5 years, and for the last 75 years, Israel has murdered hundreds of thousands of Palestinian women, men, children in Gaza. It's continued its raids in the West Bank and the campaign of terror, and is again encroaching in Lebanon. The next track, this is a track that I'm going to play you, that's written and performed by Tanya McConville, one of the most staunch and fierce women on the front lines that I've ever had the honour of knowing and to call comrade and friend. Tanya has been on the front line for decades and is just one of the most amazing, incredible people. And so it really is an honour to know her and to bring her, some of her work, to the airwaves for you today. This track is called Read My Lips, and it was recorded at Radio 2XX in Canberra as part of the campaign against the American Operation Desert Storm back in 1991. Now, the title of this came from the first George Bush campaign, in a promise during his presidency campaign in 1988, where he said, "Read my lips, no new taxes." Now, this track somehow reached and was played on an American Air Force base's radio station in Germany. And I think that listening to this track, it is just as poignant now, 35 years later from 1991, and what we are seeing in this latest attack in Iran and in the Gulf today. This is Tanya McConville with Read My Lips.
A new order emerging among the nations of the world.
the Gulf to defend democracy, self-determination and sovereignty. That can't be right. It doesn't excuse the little freedom we have in war we have to lose. Read my lips, go to hell. I said, read my lips, go to hell. I said, read my lips, go to hell. 'Cause I won't go to hell for a shell.
It is my most sincere hope 1991 is a year of peace.
Casualties are there before it commences. Propaganda lies, fabricated consensus. The people always pay the poor and oppressed in Australia, Iraq, and the US. Read my lips, I won't go. I said, read my lips, I won't go. I said, read my lips, I won't go. I won't dig no hole for Texaco.
Worldwide threat to democracy.
So what's it all about? How can we explain it? We have to understand it in order to change it. Grenada and Panama expose the hypocrisy. We know it's not about democracy. Read my lips, go to hell. I said, read my lips, go to hell. I said, read my lips, go to hell. 'Cause I won't go to hell for a shell.
I've seen the hideous face of war.
Pinochet's come, Noriega's go, and now we have to die for Texaco. But is it oil or the right to control it? Does the world belong to them to police and patrol it? Read my lips, I won't go. I said, read my lips, I won't go. I said, read my lips, I won't go. I won't dig no hole for Texaco.
Aggression, terror, and blackmail.
The United States is totally consistent, takes on anyone, anywhere who shows resistance, liberation movement or vicious dictator. Helicopters come sooner or later. Read my lips, go to hell. I said, read my lips, go to hell. I said, read my lips, go to hell. 'Cause I won't go to hell for a shell.
There will be no more Vietnam.
Saddam's a butcher, but can you explain to me why every Iraqi becomes my enemy? Vietnam, 2 million people and more died on America's killing floor. Read my lips, I won't go. I said, read my lips, I won't go. I said, read my lips, I won't go. I won't dig no hole for Texaco.
Stake is the kind of world we will inhabit.
Australian government has practiced to kill, as the people who fought CRA on Bougainville. For CRA, read RTZ, say Rio Tinto's ink and start counting the dead. Read my lips, I won't go. I said, read my lips, I won't go. I said, read my lips, I won't go. I won't dig no hole for Texaco.
Most precious currency of all, human life.
Now they try to tell me that oil is black, but that's all different now in Iraq. The desert stained red when the missiles arrived, and the only result, the corporation survived. Read my lips, go to hell. I said, read my lips, go to hell. I said, read my lips, go to hell. 'Cause I won't go to hell for a shell.
Time is running out.
If there's any sense at all in who they send, why not the company directors and the money men? So let's cut the crap and tell Texaco and Shell, if you want to fight for profits, go and do it yourselves. Read my lips, I won't go. I said, read my lips, I won't go. I said, read my lips, I won't go. I won't fight for Texaco.
Time is running out.
I said, we're coming your way.
And that there was Tanya McConville with Read My Lips, recorded back in 1991, but it seems just as relevant today, unfortunately, as the same colonial and imperial mechanisms continue to subjugate and control for, and as Margarita said, for a few concentrated billionaire men sitting up there. And this has happened with impunity, and I think that the best thing that, you know, we need to do is that we are stronger together and we can tear down those walls of power. You are tuned to Community Radio 3CR for the 24-hour International Working Women's Day broadcast here on 855 AM. You might be tuned in on 3CR Digital or online at all the W's at 3CR.com. www.iwd.org.au. And if you go to the website and do the /IWD2026, you can listen back to all of the brilliant programs that have happened since midnight last night, and they'll be carrying through until midnight tonight, and definitely suggest going back and having a listen. Now, next up, I'm going to play to you some recordings of two speeches, one from September 2024 and August 2025, respectively. And these were recorded in Free Palestine rallies, recorded here by the good folks at 3CR. And in light of the most recent attacks in Iran and the genocide in Gaza and ongoing fight for liberation of Palestinians, coming up, we've got Noor Salman, my sister, friend, and absolute powerhouse, speaking about the Zionist entity and the destruction of life and land in Gaza, but also the solidarity with First Nations struggles on this continent, and how important that intercontinental solidarity and international solidarity is, and how that we will keep fighting until Palestine is free.
The powerhouse that is the incredible Noor Salman. But as you can see here, I have 200 pages. 200 pages of children's names from age 0 to 18. These are our beautiful Palestinian children that were killed by the Israeli genocide on Gaza and Palestine. If this does not move you, I don't know what will. There are 694 pages of Palestinian names. Each Palestinian that was killed had a dream. Each Palestinian that was killed had hopes. Each Palestinian that was killed had a life, had a vision, had a freedom, had wanted to live proud and tall in their homeland, wanted to build their homes and live in freedom and justice, and no more. 40,000 Palestinians have been killed. 40,000. Up to 50,000 are the current estimates, with the Lancet saying 186,000 at minimum. There are still people stuck in the rubble. People are not buried with dignity. We have dignity. We will stand tall until Palestine is free. Remember, if we allow this to happen to Palestinian children, it'll happen to all the children of the world. If we allow Israel to continue to exist, to continue to maim, kill, rape, murder, then it will happen all over the world. Because if we allow it to happen, it'll happen anywhere. We just saw in Berlin they arrested a 10-year-old boy. We know the mass incarceration of children in Palestine by the so-called entity that is Israel. We know that is a continued practice. If we allow this Zionist fucking entity to continue its maiming and destruction, then we have no hope. We need to show up. There is no hope until Palestine is free. There is no justice until Palestine is free. From the river to the sea!
Each of you here today is taking a stance for justice, for humanity, and for a free Palestine.
I want to acknowledge the Wurundjeri and Bunurong people of the Kulin Nation and pay my respects to elders past and present. I want to acknowledge every single elder across the nations of this land and pay my respect to them, acknowledging that these lands were never ceded. Sovereignty was never ceded, and acknowledge the connection of the elders and the Aboriginal people to their lands, to their culture, to their waters. As a Palestinian Indigenous woman, I know what it's like to have our lands stripped away from us. I know what it's like for our lands to be taken, for a genocide and ethnic cleansing to happen to our people. It is happening before our eyes, but before it happened to us, it happened to the Indigenous Aboriginal people of these lands. And it is my promise to stand by with each and every single Indigenous person here to make sure that we fight together for their rights, for their justice, and for ours.
That there was Noor Salman speaking at Palestine rallies that have happened here in Melbourne over the last 2.5 years since October 7, 2023. And they continue. There is a rally coming up on the 15th of March. That's Sunday week. So 1 week from now at 12 o'clock at the State Library. And it is important to keep showing up because, as Noor said in those speeches, this is, as long as we continue and don't resist this happening, then we have, what hope do we have? And I think that International Working Women's Day for me is in part about celebrating the incredible women in our lives and being grateful for our mothers and sisters and aunts and nanas and cousins and all of the friends and family and amazing women that we have around us and mentors, and celebrating and being grateful for that, but also harnessing the fire and the strength of them and us all together to stand up and keep resisting until liberation. We are now going to go to 2018. So in 2018, NAIDOC Week theme was because of her, we can. And I want to play a few excerpts from Staunch Aboriginal Women recorded back in 2018 during NAIDOC Week. Now, the first part is an interview here on 3CR's Women on the Line. If you haven't heard or listened to Women on the Line, I'm sure many of you who are listening now most definitely have, but if not, Women on the Line do incredible work of bringing women's and gender diverse people's voices to the airwaves. Now, this interview was hosted by Hope Mathumbu, and we'll be hearing from Arand the Woman and Project Officer of Birthing on Country, Cherise Buzzacott, talking about the program and Birthing on Country. Following that, we'll be hearing from Edie Shepherd and Celeste Little speaking at Feminism in the Pub in the Because of Her We Can back in 2018, and that was again broadcast here on Women on the Line at Community Radio 3CR. So we're just going to go to that clip now.
Birthing on Country is not just a physical, it's not a physical idea. What it is it's the idea that women can have a connection to their country, the connection to their language, their family, their culture, in any place where they are, regardless of that they are on their traditional homeland or not, which is often the case for women that have been, whose families in history have been removed due to colonisation. They have no access or connection to their original country where they come from. Usually we talk about birthing on country as sort of like a spiritual or cultural sense of well-being, and we're looking at the woman, we're looking at her whole family, we're looking at how culture is at the center of everything that she does with her family. We're looking at a lot of things that we can already build on, so there's lots of strength-based, the woman's strength-based things that she has that we can build on. And so for us, birthing on country is not a new terminology, because it's, for Aboriginal women, it's been around for a very long time. It's only just now sort of coming to the front line to sort of being spoken about a lot more. And we're getting a lot of publicity about it. Like, we're getting a lot of people talking about it, and midwifery, in particular midwifery. So, I'm getting student midwives calling me and asking about, what is this birthing on country? It's about providing a culturally safe framework for our women as well, because we're knowing that they're experiencing a lot of racism in the mainstream health service. So there's a great model that we can build on, and different aspects of birthing on country. So you can have birthing on country without having every single complete essential thing that we've identified. You can have birthing on country, but I think it's defined as what the women want it to be. So when we've gone to community, we've said, what is birthing on country to you? And how can we incorporate it into your health service? Currently, what we're trying to do in both those communities is implement an Aboriginal birth centre, which is going to have a cultural framework. It'll be women can access it if they're Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, as well as having an Indigenous baby. And it will be open to women who want to birth at the centre. But part of this is what we're trying to do is we're trying to remove that women from the hospital, because sometimes the hospital is being seen as a negative place due to history of things like child removal. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring it sort of back more into a community-based model. And the model is going to be a purpose-built facility that will encompass the holistic aspect of the woman. So it'll be looking at, we'll be looking at bringing women to the hub, and we'll be looking at bringing the services to her rather than the referrals, because we know we can often lose women in that way. So that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to do this we were trying to build this Aboriginal birth centre. Part of that is having a midwifery group practice that is in place so that women can have their known midwife follow them, because we know that continuity of care actually provides really great outcomes for women when they're having their babies.
So the NAIDOC theme this year is Because of Her We Can, and it's pretty special. So this year we explicitly acknowledge and celebrate the role that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women play within society. And I also think that while NAIDOC Week is a celebration, it's really important to remember and honour its roots in political protest. 1939 saw the very first day of mourning. Held on January 26th, the 150th anniversary of the beginning of the British invasion and occupation. Over time, that single day of recognition in January became a full week in July, and has since become the NAIDOC Week that we know today. And Staunch is surviving an attempted genocide. I say attempted because we are still here. Staunch is surviving an attempted genocide for 230 years. And it's a very... And as a very, very dear friend of mine always says, basically, like, she ends every phone call I have with her on this, our existence is our ongoing resistance. That spirit in 1938 is alive and well today, and that spirit should always be present in our NAIDOC Week celebrations. For time immemorial, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women have carried our dreaming stories, songlines, languages and knowledges that have kept our cultures strong and enriched us as the longest and oldest continuous thread of human culture on this planet. Black women were there at the point of colonial impact that day in 1788. We were there at the Torres Strait Islander Perlers strike in 1936, that day of mourning in 38, the 1939 Cummeragunga walk-off, the 46 Pilbara Stockman strike, 65 Freedom Rides, Wave Hill walk-off in 66, and we were there on the front lines of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy in 72. Huge moments in our modern history that is often told in a way which centres men and forgets women. And we are right here, right now, in ways that defy your definitions. We are more than just your daughter, your sister, your auntie, your mother, or your grandmother. We are militant. We are warriors. We are thinkers. We are leaders. And we shape First Nations and settler communities alike. And I may be biased here, but I think that it would be remiss not to acknowledge our young women. So many fierce women in the warriors of the Aboriginal resistance, Seed Mob, Tani Nonis Williams, Nayuka Gori, Aretha Brown, Tasha Jago, and so many more front and centre of our movements, protecting country and leading the resistance.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women have borne the brunt of colonisation in this country. You know, every single way it's been about controlling women, whether it was taking their children off them or controlling who they married so that they didn't breed in various ways or whatever else. Women have kept the stories alive, they've kept the families together, and therefore making them front and centre of what is our week is timely and pretty extraordinary, particularly 80 years after it first happened.
And that there was Cherise Buzzacott at the top, followed by Edie Shepherd and Celeste Little speaking at events and on here on 3CR during NAIDOC Week in 2018, in which the theme was Because of Her We Can. Now, if you want to listen to those whole interviews and programs throughout that week, you can go to the Women on the Line on the 3CR website, and I definitely suggest you're doing that because, as I said at the top of this program, trying to pick what to play today of all of the incredible women that have been broadcast here over the years was really, really quite tricky. But I guess what I was hoping for today was to give you a little bit over the years, over the last 30 or so years, to jump around just to say that 3CR has been there on the front lines of struggle, of women's struggles, for it 50 years. And that some of those incredible women that we've heard from today and that have been broadcast on the airwaves, you don't hear anywhere else. But this is what International Working Women's Day is about for me. It's about recognising the things that are shit, how we can come together and to fight and for liberation for all women everywhere. But I am really grateful for the opportunity to bring this program to the airwaves to you tonight, and really grateful for the opportunity to play some clips from women who I've met through 3CR on the streets and elsewhere who have had played a really important part of my life, and not just those women that have been able to play over the airwaves today, but also big shout out to my mum. I know you're listening. I love you heaps, who is just the staunchest woman I've ever met. I am almost out of time here, but keep it locked to 3CR and make sure you go back and listen to this incredible programming that's happened throughout the last, what are we looking at? Oh, we got 2 hours left, 22 hours, and always keep it locked to 3CR. Now to finish up, this is a very short clip from a forum which was not recorded in 3CR. It was actually based out of the US back in 2021 on abolition and anti-capitalism in action. And this forum was with George Jackson Brigade members Ed Mead, Mark Cook and Janine Bertram. Read by Janine Bertram, this is a line from the George Jackson Brigade 1976 International Women's Day communique. And I guess for me, this line in particular stands out as really embodying that love and the fierceness and the power that women have. And this is almost out of time for me, but following from this very, very quick, fierce line from Janine Bertram and the George Jackson Brigade, we're going to finish the show with Tell the World by Combat Wombat. And Izzy is another legend who has been out there and is staunch, incredible woman and mother, and big shout out to Izzy. This is it for me. You're tuned to Community Radio 3CR. Make sure to keep it locked for the final couple of hours where you're going to hear from Therese with She Sings. Therese in music Sans Frontières. And happy International Working Women's Day. Keep the fire burning.
We are cozy, cuddly, armed and dangerous, and we will raise the fucking prisons to the ground.
That's right, we'll raise the fucking prisons to the ground. Now, this is Combat Wombat with Tell the World. That's it from me.
Little bit of gold shining in the murky water, glistening diamonds on random street corners, treasure chest of hope waiting to be discovered, uncover, undercover, below the radar, big brother. When we start picking on each other, tell the world that we love her. Tell the world.
Tell the world.
Little bit of gold shining in the murky water, glistening diamonds on random street corners, treasure chest of hope waiting to be discovered, uncover, undercover, below the radar, big brother. When we start picking on each other, tell the world that we love her. Tell the world.
Tell the world.
Let them know. Let them know. Like DMT to Terrence McKenna, searching for them sacred blue apples on life's adventures. Unlock all blocks, way we really truly meant to. Propel our present and carry on, still remember. History stolen by mad rulers with cruel agendas, pretending they superior, fearing that we surrender. Either let them get us penned up or pen up. We ink filling pages on stages with lasers like Lyric Tesla. Breaking ground with the sound of an earth tremor. Enter the calm before the storm, we in the center. Universal dispersal of data in a sense of flux. In amongst some ups and downs, seems you got stuck. So we here to unstuck, yeah, till you be yelling. Yeah, this higher than upper echelons in their deck chairs. Uppercut with a subsonic ruckus to chase them up the stairs. Reclaiming our resources and sharing them till them get there.
Tell the world that we love her.
passengers with purpose. One song path each one of us doing our. When do we truly know who we are? When and only then can we start moving, improving. Let's all in. When do we truly realize we are messengers with purpose? One song path each one of us doing our part.
There is no limit to the caring we should have for all living and all life and each other. There should never be any limit.
Tell the world that we love her.